Methodist Chapel for February 23rd, 1962. Jimmy Steele is bringing the message.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. On next weekend in Raleigh, the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament takes place. But here at Southeastern, we feel that we have something of far more and greater importance taking place. It's the 5th annual Student Missions Conference. The theme for this year's conference is Equal to the Task. This was brought very well to our attention recently in the chapel program by Bob Davis. I'm not going to take time to go over the program this morning, but I would like to mention, I think you would be interested in knowing who the main speakers are. We have with us Ms. Martha Franks, who's been missionary to Taiwan, Mr. Paul James, who is a home missionary now in New York City, Mr. Bill Lawson, who is BSU director at Texas Southern University in Houston, Texas. Now, in the next few days, these programs like this are going to be posted on the bulletin boards on the campus, and I think that you will be interested in looking and seeing what some of the approximately 250 students that will be with us on this weekend will be participating in, where I think that there are many parts of this program that will be interesting to us, parts of this program that we will want to support. I think that we have a very great opportunity to have this missions conference on our campus, and I think that we will want to attend as many of these meetings as we can. We have many of our own students and many of our faculty members helping in this missions conference, and certainly we want to remember in our prayers and in our interest to tell and to share what we know about this conference with those that are here as well as with those that are coming. For our scripture this morning, I have chosen some selected verses from the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. On the morrow, Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. Listen now to my voice." So Moses gave heed to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father and our God, in the stillness of this moment, we join our hearts and minds in praise and in worship of thyself. We praise thee for thy loving watchfulness through the night, for the experiences of this another day, which we now dedicate to thy service. We confess our sin of ingratitude as we realize that too often we only take for granted the innumerable expressions of thy love which are extended to us. We are grateful, our Father. Help thou our ungratefulness. Give to us, we pray, an awakened awareness of thy presence in our lives. And help us to share that presence with one another through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Picture with me, if you will, this scene.
A family and guests sitting together outside a large tent around an evening campfire. The tent belongs to Moses, leader of the Hebrews, the man who has led a great throng of people out of Egypt into the wilderness and now to the mountain of God. The guests are Jethro, his family, and attendants. Since they have had the day in which to become acquainted, we see the people divided into small groups around the fire. Moses, Jethro, and Zipporah are sitting together off to one side. We hear Moses utter a long sigh as he remarks that it has been an extremely tiresome day. And Jethro speaks, "Moses, if you don't mind hearing an old man's advice, I'm afraid that you really do not arrange things too well, my son. You are dead tired, and the poor folk who have waited in line all these hours are dead tired too." Jethro continues as he reminds Moses of the scores of people who have waited in line for his counsel this day, and suggests that although it is a great compliment to Moses to have the people trust him so implicitly, it is nevertheless an impractical way of administering justice. It is true, of course, that Moses' willingness to give of himself so unreservedly demonstrates his devotion to God, his total unselfishness, his devotion to the truth. And yet Jethro is quick to remind Moses that his health and the dignity of his position are both threatened by such arduous participation. Jethro then outlines a program whereby Moses might better meet and fulfill the needs of the people, as well as care for himself and his position. Our text gives us the response which Moses made. "So Moses gave heed to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said." In his book entitled Personalities of the Old Testament, Fleming James suggests that this story of Jethro's visit and advice to Moses is illustrative of three traits of Moses which I feel should characterize every Christian minister. These three characteristics are devotion to the people, readiness to take advice, and willingness to delegate authority. If there has ever been in the history of mankind a need on the part of the minister for devotion to his people, then that need is present in our world today. The members of our churches are at the same time members of a society which moves so fast, a society which is so concerned with self and self-advancement, a society which affords its members instruments of instant entertainment until it has advanced to a point when friendly relationships and fellowship have all but disappeared. Our people have isolated themselves so long until the word devotion is now a word long lost from our vocabularies and much forgotten in our personal relationships. In the not too distant past, we had a family unite with our church, and this family could easily have been classified under the classification non-devotional. Oh, they had their TV set, they went to work, they went to school. But outside of their own immediate family, they had no personal or friendly relationships. They were devoted to no one, and no one was devoted to them. They walked the aisles of our church one evening, and the man sobbed that he had isolated himself from God and from people long enough. And don't think that this type of folk are found just in my community, they're in yours too. There are people in your community who need a pastor to show them some devotion, to show them that he loves them, that he cares for them, that he is concerned for them. In the opening paragraph of his great novel, A Tale of Two Cities,
Charles Dickens begins with a description of the times, the universality of which I feel is indicative, too, of the modern 20th century in which we live. He writes, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were all going direct the other way." This, my friends, is the condition of the times in which you and I live. Ours is an age when more than ever before, a minister needs to present to his people a heart of compassion, a life filled with devotion. The annals of literature are filled with many quotable expressions which deal with the second trait or characteristic which I feel should be in the experience of every Christian minister, readiness to take advice. It was Shakespeare who said, "It is a good divine that follows his own instructions. I can easier teach 20 what were good to be done than be one of 20 to follow mine own teaching." Edmund Burke once wrote, "He who calls in the aid of an equal understanding doubles his own. And he who profits by a superior understanding raises his powers to a level with the heights of the superior understanding he unites with." Then listen to the words of Ben Jonson, the Ben Jonson of the Elizabethan period. "No man is so foolish, but he may sometimes give another good counsel. And no man so wise that he may not easily err if he takes no other counsel than his own. He that is taught only by himself has a fool for a master. I fear that if we as pastors are honest with ourselves, we must often confess that our zeal sometimes may outrun our discretion. Inspiration is a grand thing. But inspiration may be best utilized with the help of some common sense. But too often the recognition of such shortcomings within us must be observed from without us. This necessitates then the need on our part for a readiness to take advice. As the mediator between God and Israel, had it not been for Jethro's advice, Moses might have soon worn himself out by simply forgetting the essential necessities of his own human nature. His strength was being overtaxed. His spirit was needlessly burdened. There was much delay for the people with its anxiety and discouragement. And all in all, we find that Jethro's advice to Moses might have saved him from a fate which many of us find ourselves in today. When these unwise practices were presented by Jethro to Moses, they were brought to the attention of one who was a ready listener. There was on the part of Moses no proud resentment of another's interference. But Moses not only heard and gave assent to the advice of Jethro, but he did all that he had said. The minister or the pastor who has the readiness to take advice will be ever learning new and better methods. But then, in order to keep the record straight, let's carry the ideal one stage further. As most of you sitting here already know, a wise pastor is going to do nothing that he should get others to do. A wise pastor, then, is characterized by the willingness to delegate authority. In the opening paragraph of the 6th chapter of Acts, we find these words. "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists murmured against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the body of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The pastor is the servant of the church, but he does not need to assume all the responsibilities as though he were its slave. The pastor who feels that he is the channel of God's power often becomes so God-intoxicated that it doesn't occur to him to share his responsibilities with others. He feels that he needs be both the head and the hands in everything. And the head, in consequence, soon grows heavy and the hands become weary. Jethro saw that the important thing was not that Moses should do all the work, but that all the work should be done. Moses, of course, had the power to do the work. But the work might be best done by a distribution of the power through selected agents. Moses did not have to be both the head and the hands. He could choose other hands, making them responsible to himself as the head. In an excellent biography of the late Jan Smuts of South Africa, it is told that Jan Smuts excelled, just as many African statesmen do today, first as a soldier and then secondly as a statesman. He might have attained even greater distinction had he not suffered from two defects, defects which I might add are not confined to South Africa. First, he tended to deal with men brusquely. Secondly, he failed to delegate enough work. And the author of his biography writes, he imagined that no one could do anything as well as he. Smuts' first weakness, I can imagine, is not something uncommon among ministers today. But the second weakness, I feel, is also a primary weakness of many pastors today. Failure to delegate enough work. Granted that all men do not have the same gifts, and those who have what seem to them to be the higher gifts are often prone to put too little value on the advice and the capabilities of those whom they consider less gifted. He who has the power to turn over to others work which is within their power will build up an organization of loyal helpers and multiply his own effectiveness manyfold. Such a leader was Moses. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful minds. In purer lies thy service find, in deeper reverence praise.